الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، continue readings the work by عبد الله الوادعية حفظها الله تعالى. نصيحتي للنساء، my advice to the women. We have come to the chapter the author she has entitled حفظها الله من مكر النساء. من مكر النساء, from the plots of women, from the plots of women. She says, قال الإمام البخاري رحمه الله حدثني الحسن بن محمد بن صباح قال حدثنا حجاج عن ابن جريج قال زعم عطاء أنه سمع عبيد بن عمير يقول سمعت عائشة رضي الله عنها. She mentioned the narration of Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, that he said was narrated to me by Al-Hasan ibn Muhammad ibn Sabbah, who narrated to us by Hajjaj, who narrated from Ibn Jurayj, who said that Al-Ta' yani ibn Abi Rabah, rahimahullah, he said that he heard from Ubayd ibn Umair, saying, I heard from Aisha radiallahu anha that she said, أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يمكث عند زينب بنت جحش كان يمكث عند زينب بنت جحش ويشرب عندها كان يمكث عند زينب بنت جحش رضي الله عنها ويشرب عندها عسلا فتواصيت أنا وحفصة أن أيتنا دخل عليها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فلتقول إني لأجد منك ريحة مغافير أكلت مغافير. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the narration of Aisha radiallahu anha, she mentions that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to spend time with Zainab bin Jahsh radiallahu anha and drink honey at her home. So Hafsa and I agreed that if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered upon either one of us, that we would say to him, I find the smell of maghafir, a type of plant resin. A type of plant resin. I find the smell of maghafir, which is a type of plant resin. I find the smell on you. Have you eaten maghafir? Akelta maghafir. And it's known that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to love the beautiful scents and to smell pleasant and good. And this was pleasing for the Prophet, and this was pleasing to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was known for that. And likewise, he did not like the foul odors. So they had came up with this idea to say the likes of this to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he would spend some time at the home of Zainab bin Jahsh radiallahu anha, and they're seeking to have the attention of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فدخل على إحداهما فقالت له ذلك فقال and whenever he entered upon one of us, she said that to him, and he replied, لا بل شربت عسلا عند زينب بنت جحش رضي الله عنها ولا نعود له. He said, no, but I drank honey at Zainab bint Jahsh house, and I will not do it again, and I will not do it again. فدخل على إحداهما فقالت له ذلك فقال لا بل شربت عسلا عند زينب بنت جحش رضي الله عنها ولن نعود له. So whenever he came to one of them in their home, then they mentioned what they had planned to mention to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, asking him had he drank the maghafir, or had he eaten the maghafir, this type of plant resin and sap that has a particular odor that is not pleasant. So whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard this, he responded, he said, لا بل شربت عسلا. No, I didn't eat that, but rather I only drank some honey عند زينب بنت جحش, at the home of Zainab بنت جحش رضي الله عنها ولن أعود له, and I will never do that again. And meaning, if it's making me have this unpleasant odor, which is disturbing, then I will not do it again. Then I will not do it again. فنزلت أيها النبي لِمَا تُحَرِّمُ مَا أَحَلَّ اللَّهُ لَكَ أَيُّهَا النَّبِيُّ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّبِيُّ لِمَا تُحَرِّمُ مَا أَحَلَّ اللَّهُ لَكَ إِلَى أَن تَتُوبَ إِلَى اللَّهِ لِعَائِشَةَ وَحَفْصَةَ وَإِذْ أَصَرَّ النَّبِيُّ إِلَى بَعْضِ أَزْوَاجِهِ حَدِيثًا. لقوله بل شربت عسلا. Then the following verses were revealed. Then the following verse was revealed, O Prophet. Then the following verse was revealed, the meaning of which is, O Prophet, why do you forbid yourself that which Allah has made lawful for you? And he from this type of honey. Up to the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, if the two of you turn in repentance to Allah, which was revealed concerning Aisha and Hafsa radiallahu anhuma. And the verse likewise, the meaning of which is, and remember when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam disclosed a matter in confidence to one of his wives, and this refers to the statement, rather I only drink honey. Rather I only drink honey. After this, the author, she mentions the statement of Ibn Qayyim in clarification of the definition of deception, and trickery and plotting and planning. تعريف المكر قال ابن قيم رحمه الله في إغاثة اللهفان حقيقة المكر إظهار أمر وإخفاء خلافه ليتوصل به إلى مراده وهو ينقسم إلى قسمين محمود ومذموم فمن المحمود مكره تعالى بأهل المكر مقابلة لهم بفعلهم وجزاء لهم بجنس عملهم قال تعالى يمكرون ويمكر الله والله خير الماكرين وقال ومكروا ومكر الله والله خير الماكرين والله خير الماكرين. So the definition of al-makr, which means to plot and deception, Ibn Qayyim, he mentioned, may Allah have mercy on him, in his work Ighathatul Ahfan, the reality of makr, of al-makr, plotting and deceiving, is to outwardly display something while concealing its opposite in order to achieve a certain goal. It is divided into two types, praiseworthy and blameworthy. وَهُوَ يَنْقَسِمُ إِلَى قِسْمَيْنِ مَحْمُودٌ وَمَذْمُومٌ. And it's divided into two types, praiseworthy and blameworthy. And he clarifies here, رَحِيمُهُ اللَّهُ فَمِنَ الْمَحْمُودِ, from the aspect of the praiseworthy type, مَكْرُهُ تَعَالَى بِأَهْلِ الْمَكْرِ مُقَابَلَةً لَهُمْ بِفِعْلِهِمْ. The fact that Allah, he will plot against those who practice deception and plot evil plans against him and his true followers and believers as a response to their actions and a just recompense of their deeds. And مَكْرُهُ تَعَالَى بِأَهْلِ الْمَكْرِ مُقَابَلَةً لَهُمْ بِفِعْلِهِمْ وَجَزَاءً لَهُمْ بِجِنْسِ عَمَلِهِمْ, to recompense them for the likes of their deeds. So whenever the people of deception and evil and foul intentions they plot against the awliya of Allah Azza wa Jal, against the true and sincere believers, from the prophets and messengers first and foremost alayhim salatu wassalam, and likewise from their followers, whenever the people of evil and deception plot against them, then Allah likewise, he plots in defense of them and in recompense for those who plot the evil plots. So this is from the perfect wisdom and complete authority and power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So from this aspect is praiseworthy. Al-makr is from those traits and attributes that many times is used in a blameworthy sense, but is praiseworthy in certain circumstances. And that is whenever a person who will plot and plan in deception, in justice and in truth, to recompense the evil and the wicked and those who plot and plan in deception and trickery and in betrayal and with foul and lowly intentions, to recompense them and to meet their plots and to foil them and to ruin them and to expose them and to belittle the people of falsehood and evil. So the one who plots in return for those who plot, the one who plots injustice in return to recompense those who plot with evil, this is good, and this is the plot of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what is intended here, as he says, and Allah, he says, وَيَمْكُرُونَ وَيَمْكُرُ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ. And they plot, but Allah also plots, and Allah is the best of plotters. And likewise, he mentioned the statement of Allah, وَقَالَ وَمَكَرُوا مَكْرًا وَمَكَرُنَا مَكْرًا وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. And they devised a plot, and we devised a plan as well, while they were unaware and did not perceive. So because this is a trait that could be understood in a praiseworthy sense in certain circumstances, and also in a blameworthy sense as well, it's not from the traits that are ascribed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the absolute sense, and there's no name derived from this attribute. There's no name derived from this attribute. So Allah, He says about Himself, وَيَمْكُرُونَ وَيَمْكُرُ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ. We do not say that from the names of Allah is Al-Makir, because this trait has a bad meaning, and has a bad and blameworthy meaning, and likewise it has a good meaning. It's only ascribed to Allah in reference to the good and perfect meaning of plotting against the people who use trickery and deception and evil to spread mischief in the land, to recompense them according to their deception and trickery, and to foil their plots and their plans and to expose them. So this is from the complete power and authority and command. So in this light, it's praiseworthy. Likewise, similarly, these attributes here, they're known as sifat al-muqabala, that come as a response and in return and recompense for the evil of those who do evil. And like that, the hypocrites, yukhadi'un allaha wa khadi'uhum, that they seek to deceive and trick Allah, and Allah, He deceives them. So similarly like this, we will not say that Allah is al-khadi', that this is from His names subhanahu wa ta'ala, but He only makes this khadi'ah and this deception and this trickery in this manner in recompense to those who do that in the evil and foul way, to give them the just recompense according to their actions and according to their deeds, and to clarify the supreme authority and power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that no one can escape His command and no one can evade His decree subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in the right of Allah azza wa jalla, in this manner, done in justice, it is from the complete attribute of perfection. Similar like this also, wallahu yastahzi'u bihim, and Allah, He mocks them. And they mock at Allah and His messengers, and Allah, He mocks at them. And this is also from the same aspect. So Allah is not considered al-mustahzi'. Is the names of Allah, we will not derive a name of Allah from these attributes like al-mustahzi' or al-makir or al-khadi', because these are attributes that come fi muqabil al-mustahzi'in bi rusulihi wa atba'ihim wal-khadi'in li rusulihi wa atba'ihim wa al-makirina li awliya'illahi wa atba'ihim li rusulillahi wa atba'ihim. So this is in recompense and as a just return for those who plot and for those who mock and for those who use deception to clarify the falsehood of that and to uproot that evil and to recompense them according to their deeds. وَالْجَزَاءُ مِنْ جِنْسِ الْعَمَلِ مِنْ جِنْسِ الْعَمَلِ. So this is from the praiseworthy aspect. As for other than that, using deception or trickery and making plots and plans to reach one's desires and take the rights of others, or to get over on others and to deceive them unjustly and the likes like this, then this is blameworthy, no doubt about that. This is blameworthy, no doubt about that. وَيَمْكُرُونَ وَيَمْكُرُ اللَّهِ وَمَكَرُوا مَكْرًا وَمَكَرْنَا مَكْرًا وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. She says, انْتَهَى بِتَصَرُّفٍ انْتَهَى بِتَصَرُّفٍ. And this is the end of the quotation with slight modification, any meaning that she did some slight editing in order for this particular quote to be suitable for the issues that we're discussing, for the issues that we are discussing. So in this narration, there are a number of benefits. From that is some benefits mentioned by Shaykh Uthaymeen, by Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullahu ta'ala. He mentioned them fi sharhihi ala al-Bukhari, and his explanation of Sahih al-Bukhari on this narration here. He says, وَفِي هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ دَلِيلٌ عَلَى أَنَّ الْغَيْرَةِ بَيْنَ الذرات ثَابِتَةٌ حَتَّى بَيْنَ أَفْضَلِ ذرات فِي هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ وَهُنَّ زَوْجَاتُ النَّبِي صلى الله عليه وسلم فَكَانَتْ تَقَعُ بَيْنَهُنَّ الْغَيْرَةُ كَمَا تَقَعُ بَيْنَ سَائِرِ النِّسَاءِ. He mentioned, rahimahullahu ta'ala, that This hadith serves as an evidence that jealousy among co-wives is a natural occurrence and is something that is ingrained in the women and created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and their natural disposition. Even among the best co-wives in this ummah, the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, jealousy would arise among them just as it does among other women. This jealousy, this ghayra, which is a heated jealousy of love and reverence and honor that one will have for their religion first and foremost, and likewise one will have for their family. And a woman, no doubt, she has this for her husband. So this is something that occurs, but it must be checked with the reins of the legislation. And if it ever gets out of line, then likewise a person must realize this affair and return to Allah and repent and come back to the limits. These are from the lessons that are derived from the likes of this story as well. And as Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah, he mentioned as well, after this point here, وَفِيهِ أَيْضًا, and also it indicates, and from the benefits of this narration, دَلِيلٌ عَلَىٰ أَنَ الْغَيْرَةَ إِذَا حَمَلَتِ الْإِنسَانَ عَلَىٰ مَا يُكْرَهُ فَإِنَّهُ لَا يُؤَاخَذُ بِذَلِكَ حَتَّى إِنَّ بَعْضَ أَهْلِ الْعِلْمِ يَقُولُ إِذَا خَذَفَ شَخْصًا عَلَى سَبِيلِ الْغَيْرَةِ فَإِنَّهُ لَا يُحَدُّ لأن هذا شيء يأتي رغما عن الإنسان يأتي رغما عن الإنسان ولا يملك نفسه عنده انتهى كلامه رحمه الله. He mentioned رحمه الله Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen rahmatullah alayhi. He says it also indicates that if jealousy drives a person to act in a way that is disliked, and to act in a way that is reprehensible, to act in a way that is not good or that is blameworthy, they are not held accountable for it. Some scholars say that if someone falsely accuses another of fornication due to overwhelming jealousy, they are not subject to the prescribed punishment, and need to be lashed and the likes like this, because such actions can occur involuntarily beyond one's control. Meaning if this ghayra and this jealousy riles up and the situation gets very hot, becomes very hard, and the anger riles up along with that, then maybe sometimes people will say things that are not praiseworthy and not good. For example, maybe they would even falsely accuse a person of committing fornication out of ghayra. The Shaykh is mentioning here that some of the people of knowledge mentioned that in this case, they will not be taken to account for that sin, and meaning they will not be taken to court and lashed because of that, and being considered falling into al qadhf, which is falsely accusing the innocent and those who are chaste and known for chastity. So this is just clarifying some benefits with regards to the issue of al ghayra, and that this is something that the women, they are tried with, and this is something that occurred in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are other examples likewise of ghayra. One time, whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in his home with his family and some others, and they're preparing for a meal, and a servant comes with a dish from another wife to the home of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wal Aisha radiallahu anha, she was there, and she seen that dish from the other co-wife, became jealous, she became upset radiallahu anha, and she slapped that bowl out of the hand of the servant until it fell on the floor and split in two pieces. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he seen this affair and he realized what caused her to do that radiallahu anha, and he said, Gharat umukum, and your mother has been affected by jealousy. She has been overcome by jealousy. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam ordered her to pick up that food, and likewise to pick up that dish and to replace it. Meaning that there was an excuse made for her, but the rights that are violated, they still stand. The rights of breaking that property of another person still stands. So this issue here occurred in the home of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in his private life between his wives sallallahu alayhi wasallam wa radiyallahu anhunna. And Allah azza wa jalla, he revealed verses verses about the safir, and it's in surah at-tahrim, the chapter about that which is prohibited, prohibition, any forbidding something, and this is with regards to the safir. And the verses, they begin by Allah addressing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam directly. Allah, he mentioned in his book, Ya ayyuha an-nabi lima tuharrimu ma ahalla Allah laka tabtaghi maradhata azwajik wallahu ghafurur rahim qad farada Allah lakum tahillata aymanikum wallahu mawlakum wa huwa al-alimul hakim. The meaning of which is, O Prophet, why do you forbid for yourself that which Allah has allowed you, seeking to please your wives, referring to the honey in the story that we're discussing. And Allah is off-forgiving, most merciful, meaning that now that the reprimand has come and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has been informed of this affair, and Allah is the most forgiving and most merciful. And then Allah, he mentions, قَدْ فَرَضَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ تَحِلَّةَ أَيْمَانِكُمْ وَاللَّهُ مَوْلَاكُمْ وَهُوَ الْعَلِيمُ الْحَكِيمُ. And Allah has already ordained for you, O men, the absolution from your oaths. And Allah is your Mawla, yani your Lord and Master, and your only true protector. And He is the All-Knower, the All-Wise. Meaning that if a person were to make an oath to do something or to not do something, or to eat something or to not eat something, or to wear something or to not wear something, and the likes like this, then is binding upon him to uphold that. And if he breaks that, or if he finds that if it's in his best interest to break that, then he will break that. And he'll break that without right. And he will violate that, not intending to, any out of weakness. Or he will find that he had taken an oath upon something, and that's actually not the best thing for him to do. So therefore, he'll break that oath and invalidate that by performing the action that's better and more proper, along with expiating that in the manner that is prescribed. In the manner that is prescribed. And then Allah Azza wa Jalla, He says, وَإِذْ أَصَرَّ النَّبِيُّ إِلَى بَعْضِ أَزْوَاجِهِ حَدِيثًا فَلَمَّا نَبَّأَتْ بِهِ وَأَظْهَرُهُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ عَرَّفَ بَعْضَهُ وَأَعْرَضَ عَنْ بَعْضٍ وَأَعْرَضَ عَنْ بَعْضٍ فَلَمَّا نَبَّأَهَا بِهِ قَالَتْ مَنْ أَنْبَأَكَ هَذَا قَالَ نَبَّأَنِي الْعَلِيمُ الْخَبِيرُ نَبَّأَنِي الْعَلِيمُ الْخَبِيرُ. The meaning of which is, and remember, whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam disclosed a matter in confidence to one of his wives, Hafsa, then she told it to another, meaning Aisha radiallahu anhuma, and Allah made it known to him, and he informed part thereof and left a part. Allah informed his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam of the details of this affair, and then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam likewise informed his wives a portion of that. He informed them a portion of that and took them to account for that, and then another portion he did not mention, meaning he did not clarify all of the details of the circumstances, rather he only mentioned a portion of that which was sufficient to handle the circumstance and situation without taking things beyond the necessary realms, bringing about more problem. Rather, he handled it in the most proper manner, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, from that, clarifying, exposing that which he knew in order to correct the affair and to rectify the situation, along without going into intricate and minute details and making things hard and difficult whenever it's unnecessary. So there are things that he mentioned that he was informed of from his Lord sallallahu alayhi wasallam about these circumstances, and there are things that he did not mention and he overlooked them for the better good sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Then when he told her, and he Hafsa thereof, she said, who told you this? And he said sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the knower, the all knower, the all aware, meaning Allah has told me this. The All-Knower, the All-Aware has told me this. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then after this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He addresses them both directly. In His book, addressing Aisha radiallahu anha, and likewise Hafsa. Addressing Aisha and Hafsa radiallahu anhuma. And Aisha, she is the daughter of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhuma, and Hafsa, she's the daughter of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhuma. Allah, He mentions, He says in His book, إِن تَتُوبَا إِلَى اللَّهِ فَقَدْ صَغَتْ قُلُوبُكُمَا وَانْتَظَاهَرَا عَلَيْهِ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ مَوْلَاهُ وَجِبْرِيلُ وَصَالِحُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ ظَهِيرٌ. And Allah, He mentioned in His book, if you two, wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, referring to Aisha and Hafsa radiallahu anhum, turn in repentance to Allah. If you two turn in repentance to Allah, it will be better for you. Your hearts are indeed so inclined in this circumstance to oppose what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam likes. But if you help one another against him, and against the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then verily Allah is his Mawla. Then verily Allah is his Lord. Then verily Allah is his Lord and Master and Protector. And Jibreel and the righteous among the believers likewise are his helpers. And furthermore, the angels are his helpers. And Jibreel and the righteous among the believers, and furthermore, the angels are his helpers. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then Allah, He mentions again, clarifying this affair for those noble wives who had fallen into this affair here. Asa rabbuhu إن طلقكن أن يبدله أزواجا خيرا منكن مسلمات مؤمنات قانتات تائبات عابدات سائحات ثيبات وأبكارا عسى ربه إن طلقكن أن يبدله أزواجا خيرا منكن مسلمات مؤمنات قانتات تائبات عابدات سائحات ثَيِّبَاتٍ وَبَكَارًا. And the meaning of which is, it may be if he divorced you all, that his Lord will give him instead of you wives better than you. Meaning Muslim women who submit to Allah, believers who have sincere faith in Allah in the last day, those who are obedient to Allah and His Messenger in public and in private, turning to Allah in repentance and great devotion, worshipping Allah sincerely and wholeheartedly, giving to fasting. And those who are known for fasting in the path of Allah Azza wa Jalla, seeking His reward, previously married and likewise virgins. So these are the verses that were revealed about this event that occurred, which is referred to in this narration that the author, she has mentioned, Hafidhah Allah Ta'ala. Here, with regards to these verses, there are some benefits from Tafsir As-Sa'di, rahimahullah ta'ala, that will help us understand these affairs. قال As-Sa'di, rahimahullah, فَلَمَّا سَمِعْنَا رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُنَا هَذَا التَّخْوِيفَ وَالتَّدِّيبَ. Whenever As-Sa'di, he mentioned, may Allah have mercy on him, whenever they, the two, Aisha and Hafsa, رضي الله عنهما, whenever they, may Allah be pleased with them, heard this warning and discipline, heard this warning and discipline. And he went in these last two verses that we mentioned. إِن تَتُوبَا إِلَى اللَّهِ فَقَدْ صَغَتْ قُلُوبُكُمَا عَسَى رَبُّهُ أَن يُبْدِلَكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا خَيْرًا مِنْكُنَّ. Whenever they heard the likes of this warning and discipline, they hastened to seek to please the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to apologize for this affair. As a result, this description became applicable to them. This is from the great benefits of this statement that he mentions. He says, فَكَانَ هَذَا الْوَصْفُ مُنْطَبِقًا عَلَيْهِنَّ. Because they repented to Allah and they seek to please the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and make up for this error that they had fallen into. فَكَانَ هَذَا الْوَصْفُ مُنْطَبِقًا عَلَيْهِنَّ. And Allah mentioned that if they did not repent, then Allah would exchange women better than them. And these women, they have the description mentioned in that verse, Muslimat, meaning that they are Muslimat, they have implemented Islam properly, and they have applied it correctly in submission to Allah Azza wa Jalla. Mu'minat, they have sincere and true faith, establishing the deen inwardly and outwardly. And likewise, they are Qanitat, and known for devotion, complete devotion, and constant obedience to Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And likewise, Abidat, those who are sincere worshippers, also Sa'ihat, those who fast often, whether they be previously married or virgins. So As-Sa'di rahimahullah ta'ala, he is referring to these traits mentioned here, that if they did not repent, then Allah will replace them with women who have this description. But since they repented, he's saying, rahimahullah, فَكَانَ هَذَا الْوَصْفُ مُنْطَبِقًا عَلَيْهِنَّ. فسيرنا أفضل نساء المؤمنين وفي هذا دليل على أن الله لا يختار لرسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم إلا أكمل الأحوال وأعلى الأمور فلما اختار الله لرسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم بقاء نسائه المذكورات معه دل على أنهن خير النساء وأكملهن خير النساء وأكملهن. So again, whenever they heard this warning and discipline, they hastened to seek to please the messenger. They hastened to seek to please the messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As a result, this description became applicable to them, and they became the best among the believing women. And this serves as evidence that Allah only chooses the most perfect conditions and the highest matters for His messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Since Allah chose for His messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to keep these mentioned wives with Him, it indicates that they were the best and most complete of women. It indicates that they were the most best and complete of women. So therefore, since they repented, their affair was rectified. And they are those Muslimat, Mu'minat, Qanitat, Ta'ibat, Abidat, Sa'ihat. That is referred to in this verse. There are those women who Allah had chosen for Him to remain with Him, who are described with these beautiful traits of Al-Islam and Al-Iman. And of Al-Islam and Al-Iman and Al-Qunut and Al-Tawbati wal-Inaba and Al-Ibada wal-Ubudiyya wal-Siyam. So in this narration there are a number of benefits. From that, في الحديث أن الغيرة مجبورة في النساء طبعا. In this narration indicates that jealousy is a natural instinct in women. It's a natural instinct in women. Likewise, it will be in men too, but this is something specific here that we're discussing now with regards to a woman for her man. But no doubt it's an instinct as well that must be in the man for his women, whether it's from the religion and from the deen. Likewise, a man and a woman, they must have a ghayra. A ghayra al-shar'iyya, the legislated ghayra, jealousy and sense of warm love for the religion and for the tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jalla and for the legislation of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala and the sunnah of the noble Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And they would not like for that to be violated ever. And this will rile up that ghayra in the heart whenever these affairs are not given their proper rights and their proper respect and honor. This is from the ghayra. But if the ghayra is not checked by the reins of the legislation, it will cause a person to fall into extremism. It will cause a person to fall into extremism. And if it's not cultivated properly, it will be weak and it will not be beneficial. So the ghayra that is legislated and beneficial, and that's from the stages and levels of worship and ubudiyya, then this is the one that is in accordance to that which is pleasing to Allah and the command of Allah and the legislation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullahu ta'ala, he mentioned that this is like the immune system for the faith. The true proper ghayra is like the immune system for the faith. It's a type of heat and warmth that will remove impurities and filth and the likes like this. And if it's too hot, the temperature will become high. Like the immune system in the body, if the body gets too hot, a person will get a fever and become sick. And likewise, if the immune system is too weak, it will be overcome by diseases and other illnesses and problems. But whenever the immune system is beneficial and healthy, then likewise the body will be protected in this manner. So the ghayra is like the immune system. It's like the immune system for the iman and for the Islam, for a person's deen. Something that must be cultivated. وَفِيهِ يعني في هذا الحديث أن التحليل والتحريم يكون بأمر من الله سبحانه وأنه ليس للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن يحرم حلالا أو يحل حراما. It also highlights that the lawful and unlawful matters are determined by the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Are determined by the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he does not have authority. He does not have authority alone to declare anything to be permissible or impermissible. Rather, he has permission from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the one who legislates the law and prescribes that which is halal and haram is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he only does that with permission. He has permission to legislate. So that which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam declares to be halal is halal. By the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam declares to be halal is halal by the command of Allah azza wa jal. And that which he declares to be haram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is haram by the command of Allah azza wa jal. And Allah, he mentioned about his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوهَىٰ. And he does not speak from his desires, rather it's only a revelation revealed. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ala innama harrama Rasulullah kama harrama Allah. Indeed, that which the Messenger of Allah has declared to be impermissible is just as that which Allah has declared to be impermissible. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he only conveys the message. Rasulullah, Rasulullah, Abdullahi wa Rasulu, Abdun fala yu'bad wa Rasulun fala yukadhib. He's a slave. He's a slave of Allah and His Messenger. So he's a slave. He should not be worshipped. He does not have the rights of al-ubudiyyah. He does not have the rights of al-rububiyyah or the beautiful names and complete attributes of perfection, nor does he have the uluhiyyah and the right to be worshipped, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But he is, and he, meaning he is a man and a human being. قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ يُوحَى إِلَيْهِ قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ Say, I'm only a human being like you. يُوحَى إِلَيْهِ So, but he's the Messenger. He's the Messenger, so he must not be belied or denied. Rather, he must be believed and followed and obeyed. Rather, he must be believed and followed and obeyed. So this is a clarification here that legislating the law and the prescribed halal and haram is from the command of Allah Azza wa Jal. أَلَا لَهُ الْخَلْقُ وَالْأَمْرُ تَبَارَكَ اللَّهُ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ وفيه أن من حلف على ترك شيء من الطيبات مأكولا كان أو مشروبا أو ملبوسا فإنه ينبغي له أن يحنث في يمينه ويكفر عنه. Additionally, it demonstrates that anyone who takes an oath to abstain from any permissible and wholesome thing, whether it be food, drink, or clothing, it is recommended for them to break their oath and to offer expiation for it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned about the expiations and how they are to be handled in his book. Allah, he mentioned in Surah Al-Ma'idah, لا يؤاخذكم الله باللغو في أيمانكم ولكن يؤاخذكم بما عقدتم الأيمان. Allah will not punish you for what is unintentional in your oaths. I mean, some people sometimes they swear often, but they don't mean to swear. Wallahi, wallahi, I'll do this. Wallahi, I did that. It runs off their tongue like nothing, which is blameworthy and not good. But a person, if he made this type of oath and he did not intend it, he's not taken to account. But a person should refrain from swearing often and saying wallahi often whenever it's unnecessary. Because one will only swear by Allah to emphasize these affairs. And whenever he does that, he will honor the name of Allah and not use that often or unintentionally. But if a person ever made an unintentional oath and they said it with their tongue and did not mean it in their heart literally, they're not taken into account for that. And this is from the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. But Allah, he says, وَلَكِنْ يُؤَاخِذُكُمْ بِمَا أَقَدْتُمُ الْأَيْمَانِ But Allah, he will punish you for your deliberate oaths, and for the deliberate oaths that you had taken. You had taken an oath with your tongue and mentioned it verbally while your heart was aware and you meant that. And you know that. Now this is something that one will be taken to account for. Allah Azza wa Jal, he says, فَكَفَّارَتُهُ إِطْعَامُ عَشَرَةِ مَسَاكِينَ مِنْ أَوْسَطِ مَا تُطْعِمُونَ أَهْلِيكُمْ أَوْ كِسْوَتُهُمْ أَوْ تَحْرِيرُ رَقَبَةٍ فَمَنْ لَمْ يَجِدْ فَصِيَامُ ثَلَاثَةِ أَيَّامٍ ذَلِكَ كَفَّارَةُ أَيْمَانِكُمْ إِذَا حَلَفْتُمْ وَاحْفَظُوا أَيْمَانَكُمْ كَذَلِكَ يُبَيِّنُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ آيَاتِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ So Allah, he mentioned in his book, for its expiation, one must feed 10 poor people. And if a person, he made an oath, and then he did not fulfill that oath, he broke that oath, or he needs to break that oath for the circumstance and situation, or if he made an oath to not do something and it's in his best interest to do that thing, or he fell into that thing unintentionally, now the oath has been broken. The oath has been broken. He has made what is called an hinth, and he broke the oath. So now he must make an expiation, or else will be taken into account. What is that expiation? Allah clarifies here. For its expiation, one must feed 10 poor people on a scale of the average of that which you feed your own families, or clothe them or manumit a slave, or clothe them or manumit a slave, or clothe them, meaning buy clothing for them, or set a slave free. And so this is the first case. If a person made an oath and they broke that, for whatever the reason may be, now they must expiate that oath and breaking that oath, and that will be by performing one of these three affairs. That would be by performing one of these three affairs. They have a choice between these three. They can either feed 10 different poor people from the likes of what they feed their family, or they can clothe them with means that will clothe them in a good way, which is proper and correct, or they can free a slave. Either one of these three is that they like, they're allowed to do that. They choose one and they follow through. In this manner, the oath will be expiated. In this manner, the oath will be expiated. But then Allah Azza wa Jalla, He clarifies, فَمَنْ لَمْ يَجِدْ فَصِيَامُ ثَلَاثَةِ أَيَّامٍ. And as for the one who did not find the means for any of these three affairs previously, he's not able to feed 10 poor people, nor to clothe them, and he's not able to free a slave, then now that which he will move on to after not being capable of that which has preceded is that he will fast 3 days. So many people, they make a mistake in this affair and they just automatically fast 3 days, and that will not expiate their oath if they had the ability to feed toward 10 poor people from the likes of what they eat. Any irregular meal to feed 10 poor people from the likes of what they normally feed themselves and their family. Any irregular meal. A regular meal, they'll find 10 poor people. Maybe a household has 5. He will feed that household one meal that is suitable, like that's with that which they feed themselves. That's 5 people. Now they need 5 more. The point is, it's not allowed to move on to fasting unless these other affairs are not possible. The one who moves on to fasting, while these other affairs were possible, either to feed or to clothe or to set free a slave, then that fasting will not suffice and not be considered an expiation. So this type of expiation here, it has a takhir with tartib. You have a choice between these three affairs. And then after that, there's order as well. So you have the choice between these three affairs, but then if those affairs are not able, now one is able to move on to the second issue. And that is to fast 3 days. But not before that. It has to be in this particular order that is mentioned. ذَلِكَ كَفَّارَةُ أَيْمَانِكُمْ إِذَا حَلَفْتُمْ وَحْفَظُوا أَيْمَانَكُمْ. That is the expiation for the oaths when you have sworn, and protect your oaths. وَحْفَظُوا أَيْمَانَكُمْ. You must protect your oaths. Any meaning that you protect them, do not swear often. This is from the meanings of that. And also from the meaning of protecting the oath is that if you do swear, that you must fulfill that properly and not violate that, except with excuse. And if you break that, then you must expiate it. All of this is considered from preserving and maintaining the oath. So first and foremost, وَحْفَظُوا أَيْمَانَكُمْ. Protect your oath, meaning do not swear all the time. Do not swear often, especially not unnecessarily. Only swear whenever it's needed. And to emphasize this affair, honoring the name of Allah Azza wa Jal. And if you do swear, then you fulfill that oath and you do not violate it except with reason. And if you do violate it with or without reason, then you expiate it in the manner prescribed. All of this is considered protecting and maintaining the oaths. كَذَلِكَ يُبَيِّنُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ آيَاتِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. And thus Allah, He makes clear to you His signs, His ayat, His proofs and evidences, His verses, His lessons, His revelation, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you may be grateful. That you may be grateful that there's a law and legislation that is prescribed and that He has guided you to understand that and see it and to have success to follow it and abide by it. So we see the great obligation of following the legislative law and not prohibiting anything that is lawful, and likewise not declaring anything lawful that is clearly forbidden, and that this is the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَمْ لَهُمْ شُرَكَاءَ شَرَعُوا لَهُمْ مِنَ الدِّينِ مَا لَمْ يَأْذَنْ بِهِ اللَّهِ. Do they have partners, associates, who have legislated in the religion that which Allah did not allow? So this is something that is major. This is considered fabricating lies against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ولا تقولوا بما تصفوا ألسنتكم الكذبة هذا حلال وهذا حرام لتفتروا على الله الكذبة إن الذين يفترون على الله الكذبة لا يفرحون. Do not say, describing with your tongues, that this is lawful and this is forbidden, to fabricate lies against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And indeed, those who fabricate lies against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, claiming that this is halal without knowledge or evidence, or claiming that this is haram without knowledge nor any evidence, they will never be successful. From the benefits likewise of this narration, we see that in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with his wives, and how he dealt with them and the most beautiful manner. And he was balanced, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not being overcome by desires and love for his wives, and likewise not being harsh or rude with them, but rather establishing the legislation and being kind and just, not showing favoritism and the likes like these affairs. Although he loved his wives greatly, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was still just with all of them, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this shows how the Prophet dealt with his wives with love and patience, and that he was considerate for their feelings and emotions without being unfair to any of them. And whenever he heard that he had a smell coming from him, and that which was claimed, and he immediately wanted to immediately mention that he would leave that, because he did not want to come around his family disturbing them with foul odors and the likes like this. This is all from the intention that he had, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to live amongst them comfortably and to be kind and to be nice with them and to have husn al-ishra, and to live in a good way with his family and with his wives, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Also, we see that the person, maybe sometimes he will have a good intention, but if it's not guided by the guidance and the law of the legislation, maybe he will not always be able to achieve the proper aim and objective. The proper aim and the proper objective. Also, we see from the benefits as well, it's not that in the legislation, things are considered lawful until there is an evidence that in the legislation with regards to the worldly affairs and the customs and the everyday practices of eating and drinking and food and the likes, is that the origin is that these things are lawful. And also fil ayat al-hillu wal-ibaha, until there is a clear evidence declaring that they are forbidden. As for if a person were to avoid some things from that which is lawful for some benefit and to have self-discipline without declaring them to be forbidden, without doing that as a means of worship and the likes like this, but just showing preference to not get involved in this or that, so on and so forth, or not to partake from certain lawful things, then this is allowed, so long as he did not declare it to be forbidden or impermissible. Forbidden or impermissible. Likewise, we see that if a person, he breaks his oath, he must fulfill that, he must expiate that and fulfill the rights with regards to that. And we have seen some details, alhamdulillah, with regards to the expiation of oaths, the expiation of oaths. From the benefits as well, we see the necessity of being fair and just in marital relations. In marital relationships, then the husbands, they should exercise wisdom and fairness in dealing with their wives, and the wives should also do the same. Neither one should be swayed by emotions or personal inclinations. Rather, they should cooperate together upon piety and righteousness to seek the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, each one giving their right to the other for the sake of Allah, not because they gave them their right or they did not give them their right, but as deen. Also, they must avoid excessive trickery and deception in family life. Avoiding, this is a great point as well, avoiding excessive trickery and deception in family life. The spouses, the husband and the wife, they should maintain honesty and transparency in their interactions with each other to prevent misunderstandings or unintended consequences and bad outcomes, problems, and the likes like this. By not being clear and not being honest or using practices, using and being deceptive and the likes like this. So it's always proper to be honest and to be clear with your wife, with your husband, with your family in this manner like this, so that the ship of your household and your family sails through the waves of life on a straight path and is able to deal with the challenges that face them without anyone falling overboard or without the ship any sinking or getting detoured and taken off track. It's very important for the husband and wife to cooperate together to keep their family alive, to keep their family afloat, to keep their family from drowning the desires and whims of this life and the misunderstandings and the innovations and deviations and doubts likewise that we're facing in these days, and that our families and our children are facing in these days. Also, we see in this narration that it's important to learn from mistakes and correct them whenever they occur in the best manner. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he corrected the mistake in the best manner. And this is from the beautiful way. This is from the beautiful way, from the beautiful methodology and way. So there are things that he was aware of, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that occurred between these wives here. But he mentioned some of that to address that to them, and left off and overlooked other details, not taking them to account, and putting them in great hardship for every last little affair. So he took them to account for that which was necessary, and exposed that which was enough to handle the issue in a good manner. Alhamdulillah. So it's not always good to go into minute details. Every last thing, you said this and you did that, and you did this and you said that, and the likes like this. You just, if there's a mistake, you correct it in a manner that's sufficient without going overboard or going into too many great details. Rather, to overlook a lot of small mistakes or shortcomings and the likes like this is incumbent to have happiness and peace amongst people, spouses especially. Al-Amash rahimahullah, he died in the year 148. He said, "Taghaful yultfi'u kathiran min ash-shar." Taghaful yultfi'u kathiran min ash-shar. Taghaful is to overlook things. You need to pardon and to overlook, and to address them at the proper time or place. Not always immediately, not always striking back right at the time of mistake or error and the likes like this. So not always correcting immediately whenever the situation is hot and it's probably not the best time and will not have the best result to advise at that particular moment. So to have taghaful, you need to overlook that affair, to check one's tongue, and to repress one's anger, and to do that for the sake of Allah, hoping for the greater benefit, and to repel the greater evil, and to repel the greater evil. وَالدِّينُ مَبْنِيٌ عَلَى مَصَارِحِ فِي جَلْبِهَا وَالدَّرْءِ لِلْقَبَائِحِ فَانْتَزَاحَمْ عَدَدُ الْمَصَارِحِ يُقَدَّمُ الْعَلَى مِنَ الْمَصَارِحِ وَضِدُّهُ تَزَاحَمُ الْمَفَاسِدِ يُرْتَكَبُ الْأَدْنَى مِنَ الْمَفَاسِدِ. These are from the fundamentals of the religion, and the means of happiness and joy and goodness in this life and the hereafter, and likewise in the household, to look for the greater good and to repel the evil and the harms, and to be patient and to not lash out and let emotions overtake a person, raising their voice or speaking back whenever that's not the best time. That's not the best time. So to learn from these affairs, this issue here teaches us, and you have to be sincere and upright in our conduct. And whenever affairs occur that are disliked or problems arise, then they should be handled with a good intention. And they should be handled with wisdom and with forbearance and good advice and admonishment. And sometimes that immediately is not the best time. Some things that must be addressed right away. Other things a person has to think about, and maybe it's better to wait till later and address them at another time in another circumstance. And that will bring about good in doing that. That'll bring about good in doing that. Sometimes there's things that it's most proper to address it at that moment, but not always. But not always. This is the point here. And likewise, some things they cannot be left off nor overlooked, but other things they can. So for a person to be moderate, and a person to be fair, and a person to be just in their household with their spouse, this was from the means of bringing happiness and joy. From the greatest trials and the greatest problems that one can face in this life is to have troubles and trials in their home. To have troubles and trials in their home. The house should be a home of joy, a place of peace and happiness. And the likes like this, not a place of war, or a place of arguing, and a place of hatred, a place of worry, a place of trials. No, the home should be a place a person he finds rest in and peace in, and happiness and joy in, finds a friend and a companion, and their spouse, and the likes like this, that they can enjoy life with, and find peace and comfort in their company, not hardship and agony and heartache and pain. وَلِيَذَا بِاللَّهِ. This goes back to having a good intention in dealing with the spouse, and likewise having light and knowledge from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In this story, we see how the legislation is comprehensive, encompassing all aspects. The legislation is comprehensive, encompassing all aspects. And the revelation had come in every aspect of the life of the believers, even into these private affairs and matters in the household and family of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, so that we will have complete guidance in all matters of our life until the day of resurrection, and that the legislation is standing in its guidance for all mankind. In its guidance for all mankind until the day of resurrection. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.